And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Mantra Meditation Hour on CITR 101.9 FM with your congenial host, Raghunath.
Today's show, you're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Raghunath and I will be here for the next hour playing some various mantra music, but also interview material with the walking monk, aka Bhakti Marg Swami. And that's going to be kind of interspersed with other things throughout the show. First track I'm going to play, because it is actually the month of Kartik, which especially in India is celebrated as being a very sacred month for additional spiritual practice. And so I'm going to play another version of the Damodar Astika, which is the eight verses to Damodar. Damodar is another name for the avatar Krishna, and specifically when he was a little bit younger, a young boy, a toddler. And the version that I'm going to play is by Terakadamba Mandir, which is a new project, or a recent project in the past couple of years, by Victor Carr. Probably more commonly known as being the guitarist and vocalist in various punk bands, such as Shelter and 108. This project is something that he's doing with Sharmasaki Devi Dasi, Vrajendra Nandana, and Vrishabhanu Nandini Devi, Victor Carr, otherwise known as Vrajikito Kishore Das. And they were based in a place in India called Vrindavan, which is actually the home of Krishna. And but currently, I believe, residing in Japan, and doing a really interesting project with this one. So, from a release entitled Mahaprabhu Kirtan, here's Terakadamba Mandir with the eight verses to the avatar or incarnation of the Supreme Damodar. We'll be back after this to start the interview segment. I hope you're doing well. You're listening to Mantra on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Last Sakundan.
currently listening to Damodar Astakamal, the eight verses to the incarnation Damodar, a younger version of Krishna, who you may be more familiar with that name. In the Bhakti tradition, in the Bhakti tradition, there are so many different ways for approaching the Supreme Source. And one way that is very fast and popular is through kirtan. This is the reciting of sacred mantras or names of the Supreme, or in this case with Damodar Astakam, several verses which are like meditations on the play or the lila of certain avatars when they are actually present on the planet. So one verse from here, from this Damodar Astakam, Vadam Deva Moksham Namokshavadim Vara Nachanyam Vrineham Vareshadapihara. This is like the fourth verse, and this is in the Sanskrit language. This is a very old song, and this verse is talking about how just that what we were talking about, lila, and that is that the poet or the writer of these verses is meditating on the activities of the Supreme Incarnation, specifically Damodar. Plays as a child, and this Damodar Astakam talks about the interaction between Damodar and his mother, and just the exchange of loving playfulness that happens between the two of them. And the point is, or the I guess the essence is that because of this play is happening between a person and an incarnation or of the Supreme, then the interaction is different as what would happen between just the interaction between two people. It actually becomes a source of linking or connecting with the Supreme, which is what the word yoga means. And so one of the ways Victor Carr, in his little bio that I have about this project, Terakadamba Mandir, that recorded that version of Damodar Astakam, he talks about what the name is, actually a name of a place and a temple in India. And he says, Nandini, Nandana are the names Radha and Krishna go by as they preside over the temple in Terakadamba. And he says, their sweet temple is a joyful, deep place where divinity manifests primarily through sound vibrations, nama, lila, guna, and rupa, sankirtan. So is that word lila. This is one form of meditation that you'll find quite often in the various Bhakti traditions. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play a couple of public service announcements, and then we're going to get into the interview with the walking monk. We'll be right back.
Grad student? If so, then listen up, because the Graduate Student Society lets UBC grads book rooms and spaces in the newly renovated grad student building. Be sure to take advantage of what the facility has to offer. The rooms come equipped with sound systems and can host up to 300 people. Even better, as grad students, you don't have to pay booking fees. Not a grad? Don't worry. The Tia Corner House is open to the public, as in the Corner Pub, opening earlier next year. For more information, contact booking manager Rob at bookings@gss.ubc.ca.
Music, reggae music, is tell you, I tell the whole world, you know, telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling them to this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR, featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about roots rock, lovers rock, dancehall, reggae music on CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday. For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such time, keep the faith and spread it gently. Ja bless and ja guidance. Ja out. Bless out.
We're back. So, without further ado, we're going to get into an interview with Bhakti Marg Swami, otherwise known as the Walking Monk. And he's a monk who is part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is a worldwide society which practices bhakti yoga. And he's actually born in Canada and has been practicing bhakti for 30 or 40 years. And about 10 or 15 years ago, I believe, in the mid-90s, he started this walk across Canada and then back as well, which he completed within a few years, like in sections. And now he's done it three times, back and forth across Canada, on foot, and he's currently on his fourth walk, about halfway across the, well, he's in this part. Oh, I'm not quite sure where he is now. Winnipeg, I think, as far as the walking goes. So he'll actually reveal that more specifically in the interviews. Interspersed with this is going to be various tracks. We're going to hear a track by Mahasukha, also music from either Jayutal or DJ Drez. We haven't quite decided yet. And then also new music from Marty Walker, and ending on another track with Terika Dambermandir, and we'll break a couple of times as well, just to let you know what's happening. So we're going to be hearing more of this track, Chinmaya Dunsta and Nilaji Kumar, from the Yoga Lounge release from a few years ago, entitled Jinjoti Revisited. And we'll be back in about half an hour's time, just to give you a better idea of where things are going. First off, Bhakti Marg Swami is going to talk about why walk, like why is he walking, and the nature of pilgrimage, sacred pilgrimage, and also his route across Canada. I'm going to hear from him about just his journey in yoga and bhakti, and some talk about chanting, walking and chanting. That's his whole thing, and just chanting, how it can affect us in a positive way, how it can affect the world in a positive way, and a couple of funny stories and some information about the future in terms of walking. He walks all around the world in different places, but Canada has been his main challenge back and forth. So I hope you enjoy. We'll be back in a little while to clue you in.
I've been a monk for almost 40 years now, and I just completed the first half of the fourth walk across Canada, the second largest country in the world, and I'm sure with all partiality, I can say the very most beautiful one. The walking project has to do with promoting pilgrimage, encouraging people to be more mobile, you know, physically, to give their car a break, to experience a more carefree, car-free kind of life. Why? Well, it gives you, it's healthy for the environment. It's gives you some time to process things, to become more introspective, to go more inward. And I think that's one thing that people need to have an experience of, and which will help in an individual's life to, you know, overcome some of the challenges of the modern day. Walking is good. It's physically the most beneficial sport you can take up. It's better than swimming. It's better than running. It's safe. And it's what we're made for. And pilgrimage is also, it's a very old traditional habit. I think you'll find that whatever background you come from, ancestrally, you know, if you're coming from a Celtic background, well, you know, your ancestors did this. They walked. If you come from a Mediterranean background, you're Catholic, yeah, that's your ancestors walked. Eastern Europe, same thing. The Americas, our indigenous people, spiritual quest people, all heard about that. If you go to Australia, the Aborigine folks, they would be on their walkabouts. And so it's just a traditional thing, and perhaps the automobile has spoiled us and taken us away from those kind of valuable practices and events. Everybody knows about the famous Camino Santiago de Compostela, I hope I said it right, in Spain, perhaps the most famous walk in the world. And, you know, when you participate in one of these kind of big marathon walks for sacred purposes, you know, people come out, you know, like a changed person after they've been on a walk like that. I was just thinking how nice it would be to have trails or established routes like that in Canada, just like they have in Spain and other places, which are recognized as places for going for some transformation, internal transformation. The natural place to start a walk like this would be the Trans-Canada Highway, which is pedestrian friendly in certain sections. But there are alternative routes, and I found that they've been very pleasant as well. You know, I'm on my fourth walk, so I like to always find a different route and go through new towns and villages that I haven't gone through before. And every place I go to, it creates a little bit of a stir, a little bit of sensation, or a little bit of a buzz. And it's fun. It's all one big, wonderful adventure.
What am I rushing toward? What am I rushing for? What am I rushing toward? What am I rushing for? Slow down, slow down, and savor. Slow down, slow down, and savor. What am I rushing toward? What am I rushing for? What am I rushing toward? What am I rushing for? Slow, slow down, slow down, slow down, and savor. Slow. rushing toward? What am I rushing for? What am I rushing toward? What am I rushing for?
Student of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and he came to North America first in 1965. He established a bhakti movement. Well, let's say it's a carryover, and you can say kind of like sometimes we use the analogy old wine in a new bottle. So he took an old tradition, brought it to the new world, you know, North America, and let's say engaged the young people. Of course, when you're talking about the 60s, the people that were the flower power folks, and you know, as we had on the West Coast, we also had those types of folks on the East Coast who were, you know, looking for some kind of meaning to this whole existence that we have here. Those people took interest in the bhakti movement. So they were bhakti involves mantra meditation in a very deep way. So chanting plays a big part of it, and as well as something called smadhanam, you know, recalling the positive things that has happened in one's life. It's kind of a therapeutic path, really. And then to finally arrive at the point of sweet surrender in your mind, you know, kind of letting go, and, you know, when you find that all let's say mundane arrangements cannot really protect you from, you know, death itself, then what do you have? You do have your, let's say, inward attitude that allows you to become free from all the attachments to this world. So bhakti entails 9 processes of devotion, beginning with the mantra meditation and ending with that that's a sort of love for the divine. Well, I was a young seeker. I was an artist, a creative artist, and I was taking a fine arts course in Northern Ontario. And it was during that time of contemplation that I met some monks from the Krishna Society, and I was very excited about what they had to say, because what I found in it was some of the old values that I was raised in. I also found some maybe more along the new age line of thinking, you know. I mean, I was raised on a farm. I never cared so much for eating meat, so I, you know, I had some people here now. These monks were saying, well, it's good to be vegetarian, and I just love. That was just so relieving for me to hear that, you know, here's a group of people that really believe in the non-violent approach to life, and who look happy and healthy, and, you know, they're not anemic, and especially in the 60s, you know, to try to convince people that you get enough protein and all that, it was a little bit of a tough, you know, like say, a product to sell, and but for me, it was easy to buy into that concept, and I love the exotic food, and apart from the philosophy, it was all very, very enticing. So I got involved, and so this is what the particular order that I'm involved in. You know, while trekking down a trail, a highway, or whatever the case may be, sometimes even along a beach, you know, so long as you're following some kind of a trail that makes sense. I spend a good amount of the time chanting. I have meditative beads, and so I found that, you know, walking and the meditation with the sound vibration is like a perfect combination. It just makes the walking so complete. And so that's, you know, as a monk, that's an obligation that I hold true to my life. And I found it's a perfect marriage. So being a monk means you're not married, but you're actually married to the mantra. You have a relationship with the mantra. It's a commitment, is what it is. So it makes it very complete and totally holistic, walking and chanting together. Many people are very tuned into sound vibration of different sorts and kinds. Whether we're conscious of it or not, sound plays a very important, impactive role in the lives of everyone. And so it's been proven that, you know, depending on the kind of genre of music, you know, what you put out in your life in terms of what your thoughts are as well as your actions is very much impacted by what you take in orally, you know, in terms of sound. So if you're, for instance, if you're going to hear a nice Indian raga, you know, kind of the best comes out of you. So the mantra meditation has that kind of effect to put you on track, on a peaceful track, mentally, psychologically. And in order to be like a well-rounded and balanced kind of person, I think that's really important, plays an important role in life. It would be just like listening to the soft rain here in Vancouver, you know, trickle down, or being by a babbling brook and hearing that, you know, the kind of appeasement that comes and calmness that comes from being, you know, in and around, in some, or around such a setting and hearing the element of water. It has such a soothing effect, and so chanting has that kind of an effect. It's an impact on the heart, ultimately. So that's a very purging kind of experience. What I've found very interesting is that all the mainstream, let's say, forms of spirituality that we have traditionally, they all put some attention to this sound vibration. We call it Shabda Brahman. It's a Sanskrit term. And chanting is said to be really at the core of the spiritual practices of so many traditions. And especially amongst the yogis and the sages from ancient India. So yeah, chanting is it. And I mean, there's other practices involved in the bhakti line, but chanting becomes, it's first and foremost. It's the beginning, it's the end, it's in the middle. But when you look at Eastern traditions and Western traditions, you know, the core coming from the Middle East, still they have the same things to say in regards to how sacred sound can definitely make a positive change. You know, when you put all the institutional elements to the way and the sort of organized religions, religious connotations out, what you're left with is a sound that can resonate with all. And there's no limit to how you can express it. There's any amount of melodies or tunes that can be applied. Any kind of instrumental accompaniment can be there. So, but I would say at the core of the change that's taking place, it is sound that really comes through. And I believe that people are in the happiest mode of life when they put sound into practice, and you know, they're happy. Music plays such an important role in people's lives. So I would say that the bhakti movement, the tradition of mantra chanting, is really perhaps at the forefront of this major change and interest in, you know, the ancient ways.
I think now we should start reading.
Plan to in 2013 to complete the second half of the walk across Canada. I actually just completed about a month ago. I became a little bit east of Winnipeg, which is the actual center of Canada, and it's like there's a meridian there that goes right, you know, to show that here is the center of Canada. So I'll be doing that, and I'm sure there's going to be some other interesting trips for me in the future. I've actually walked some other countries, Ireland, Israel, Guyana, Trinidad, Mauritius, and the Fiji Islands. And just to get a little bit of a, you know, richness, it's always good to, you know, make comparison. And of course, after doing Canada, everything's a cinch. But so the future is, at least for the time being, has for me to do more walking of this sense, to do a good 30 to 35 kilometers a day, and meet a lot of folks, as it always has been. There's, of course, a lot of media exposure. It was on my first walk in 96. And I was near the Chilliwack area. I was trekking with one other fellow, you know, from our order. And a Mountie pulled over, and he said, "Can I see your ID?" So without reluctance, I gave him my... And without questioning, I gave him my ID, my passport. And so he looked at it, and he went to his cab, and then he came back after some minutes. He said, "Okay, you're okay." So because he didn't actually explain anything, I just said, "So what's the officer? Can you, tell me what it's all about, what I've done wrong?" He said, no, it's okay. He said, "Well, you're in Chilliwack, you have to understand. Here there's a penitentiary, and everybody here wears orange. And we got a report, someone called in that perhaps you're an escapee from the, you know." So that's happened a few times across the country. So those things are fun. It's one of those human exchanges that kind of make your day. And something to laugh about, talk about later on. Yes, www.thewalkingmonk.org. I do a daily report or journal of what goes on in my life, you know, with regards to walking or pilgrimage or, you know, anything to do with the life of a Swami. And even if I'm not on one of the long treks, each day I'll do some walking just to keep the engine going and to keep the wheels oiled, you know. And whether it's 7 kilometers or 10 or 11, 12 during the day, but when I do the big marathons, it's, you know, it's a little more colossal stretch. But I always like to encourage people through the blog, to through the walkingmonk.org, to express how important it is for a pilgrimage to be there. I think a lot of people are also curious to know, what is it like to be a monk? You know, I get a lot of young guys especially wanting to know, like, you know, of course, I'm not a kung fu master or martial arts. It's not, to be a monk isn't just about that. It's really about achieving, you know, calmness within, and being more in touch with, you know, harmonious with the elements around us.
So that was Bhakti Marg Swami, otherwise known as the Walking Monk, and I'd like to thank him for that nice interview that we did a few weeks ago when he was here in Vancouver. During the course of that segment, you heard a track by Mahasukha entitled Rushing Remix from their release Soulful Spirit. We're going to be hearing more from them in the upcoming weeks. Also, in the background, we had something from Chinmaya Dunstar, or Jinjo's Revisited, also some Eastern Sun, the transition from We Are One. And then also a track by DJ Drez featuring Deepak Ramapriyam of the Breath of Life tribe and Dominic Dean Bro playing saxophone. Sri Krishna Govinda from Lotus Memoirs, one of the Jatabeat releases. Also, some Dave Tipper in there, and a track by Marty Walker with Tribal Nam from her new release, great release entitled Revolution. Currently listening in the background to Craig Coland and Evan Blutek, who is just here in Vancouver, otherwise known as Shaman's Dream, with Breath of Ma from Prana Pulse. And we're going to cap things off in a few moments with another track by Tara Kadamba Mandir called Gopi Katha, which features the Maha Mantra, which is the predominant mantra that Bhakti Marg Swami chants. And Sorry, I'm having some technical problems here. I think it's fixed. So the Maha Mantra coming up as the last track. Before that, we're going to hear some public service announcements. We will be right back.
CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Techs, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
With the vast amount of changes happening in the world, it's almost impossible to get a clear picture of what's really going on.
We are trapped within the logic of capitalism, leaving us unable to imagine what comes next.
The Extra Environmentalist brings the perspectives of people who can see the whole picture and are ready for whatever comes our way.
Tune in to the Extra Environmentalist every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
This is the viewpoint that makes all places the same to you.
CITR 101.9 FM is pleased to invite you to a birthday party celebrating 75 years of campus and community radio excellence for 30 years on the FM dial and 30 years of Discorded magazine. We've got a lineup of bands and exhibits to celebrate CITR's 75-year history of independent radio and support of local independent music, including Miss Marr and Friends, Culture Shock, Fine Mist, Channels 3 and 4, Karen and Mark, and the new Best Friends and more. Doors open at 8, bands at 9. Tickets for $10 in advance or $12 at the door plus voluntary donation. This party is one part of our alumni weekend, and if you are an alumni, past volunteer, or current member, or are connected to the history of the station, this event is for you. For more details, visit CITR.ca.
That pretty much brings us to the end of today's installment of Mantra Radio. And we will be here actually in a couple of days on Saturday night. At least I will be here as orchestrating the Plutonian Nights reunion. That's going to happen between 7 and 9 p.m. as part of the CATR Radioversary. And I'm going to have special guests with me, Tobias of Shroom Tribe previously, also Quentin of Team Lounge, Crisco Las Vega will be here, and other guests as well. So if you were around in the 90s for some of the late night editions on CATR, then this is going to be kind of revisited. The last track today is going to be Terracadumba Mandir, which was also the first that we played, or played a track by them first, their version of Damodar Astakam. This is called Gopi Katar and features the Maha Mantra, and we're going to end on this track. We will be back next week, 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can go on the internet to mantraradio.co and hook up with all of the previous shows and listen and download. Also for CITR in general, Discorder magazine, go to citr.ca. Also you can get more information about the 75th CITR anniversary on the website. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed some of what you heard. See you next week. Namaste.